Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening. Welcome to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness, your new home for the best in paranormal talk radio 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You can find us here on Podcast One as part of the Jericho Network. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to introduce you to a segment that we did on Darkness Radio for a number of years, and we'll be bringing it back from time to time here on Beyond the Darkness. We like to call this Supernatural News and Parashare, where we've culled together stories from around the world, news stories dealing with different aspects of the supernatural and the paranormal. And we're going to read some of your personal encounters a little later on in the show. Unlike Theater of the Mind, there is no sound effects. There's no special effects. I won't be overly dramatic when I read it. It's just good old fashioned me reading stories. And ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome him back to the place he once belonged and is now back in charge behind the boards, where he has been so sorely missed. Ladies and gentlemen, supernatural news correspondent, co-host, producer, board monkey, and junkie, Mr. Tim Dennis.
Hi, folks.
Good to have you back, Tim. How you feeling?
I'm alive.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
People were worried about you.
I was worried about me.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You sound a little different.
I do sound a little different, yeah.
So let's attack the white elephant in the room and just get it over with.
There's white elephant gifts?
Fact of the matter is,
Had a little oral surgery.
I punched him really hard in the mouth. He was not bringing my sandwiches the way I like them.
And, I'm sorry, sir.
I gave him a quick shot to the old jaw.
Didn't mean to do that.
Knocked out a couple of teeth, and we fixed him, though. No, he's got his new mouth.
I got some new teethers.
Some new teethers.
I'm getting used to.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But
it's going to take a little bit.
What's the best way to break you in? Making you read news stories for the next half an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got supernatural news from around the world, and a little bit later I'll be reading Parashare stories. And remember, if you have your own encounters with the supernatural, whether they're funny, scary, heartwarming, loving, angels, demons, Ouija board, whatever, we want to hear your stories. You can always email them in to me at dave@darknessradio.com. And if you come across news stories from around the world that have to do with the paranormal, you can also email those to us at dave@darknessradio.com. And we'll compile those, and maybe once or twice a month we'll do supernatural news and Parashare together. Let's take a quick look, shall we, Tim, at the rest of this week?
Sure.
Tomorrow, Seth Breedlove will join us. We'll talk about the Mothman of Point Pleasant. Many people have been fascinated with the Mothman prophecies and the story of the cryptid known as Mothman. We're going to hear a little bit from a documentarian who's working right now on putting together a documentary regarding this and has new footage, new interviews, and some new insights in the story. Seth Breedlove will join us tomorrow. On Wednesday, Sean Wickens is a comedian, Tim, and he's a New York City-based comedian, and his new book examines popular conspiracies and finds the weirder silver linings behind them.
Hmm.
How do you like that?
I like that.
Tolerable conspiracies. Some secrets are good for you, Tim. That's what we'll discuss on Wednesday. And then Thursday, Roy Horn is going to join us. He has what he says is a unique perspective on the Mandela effect. And the Mandela effect is this, for those of you that are not familiar, is this strange Some people call it, false memory syndrome. Other people believe that they are having real memories. Mm-hmm. I'm one of these people. I believe I've had memories that I recall in depth and detailed that other people will share with me that they remember these moments, but there's no historical relevance to them. Look them up. It doesn't occur. Like what? Well, the Kirk Douglas death. What? Kirk Douglas died, Tim? Yeah, he died. I think it was late 80s, mid to late 80s, after suffering a massive stroke. I believe it wasn't even a month or two later, he died of a massive heart attack. And I remember that vividly, as do many of our listeners. However, we know that in 2016, he just had his 100th birthday.
Right.
So Kirk Douglas is still alive, wrote a book called Stroke of Luck that talks about his life after the stroke that he co-wrote, I think, with Michael Douglas. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that. We're going to be discussing other strange false memories and what could be making this happen with Roy Horn. That's on Thursday. Friday, we wrap up the week with an in-depth look and profile of the Ouija board, Tim.
Ah.
All right, now, for newer listeners, are you a person that subscribes to the idea that Ouija boards are evil and can open up portals to dangerous things?
You know.
No, that's why I asked you.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, see?
I really do believe in intent and fear. And if with anything, whether it be a K2 meter or anything that you're, I shouldn't say a K2 meter because you're not directly involved with a K2 meter.
Well, kind of are. I think people influence K2 meters and electronic devices when they're focused on it enough.
Right. But with anything that you're, I guess any divination tool, if you truly have the intent of going out looking for something big and bad, you'll find something big and bad. And I just think that's the way it is. I think that with the Ouija board, if you sit down in front of it and you think something big and bad is coming through it, well, you may just find what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk with Ouija board historian Bob Murch. And Bob has been collecting. He's kind of the librarian of some of the most freaky and chilling stories of Ouija board. So we're going to talk with him about some of those stories and some of the insights on Ouija. And he's been a friend and a guest of our show and Coast to Coast for years. But he's got some newer stories that we have not covered together before. He is going to chat with us about that. And he also is going to be supplying us our Theater of the Mind story this week, Tim.
All right.
And it's a good one. So you'll want to check that out. Then for the remainder of the show, Dr. Michael Shermer is coming back. He's from Skeptic Magazine and one of our favorite guests. I love his mind, and I really like how he can shed light on different aspects of humanity and why we believe the things we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to find out about Ouija board and from the scientific perspective. Things that have intrigued me about it is not so much the board and the idea that we're communicating with spirits.
Right.
It's some of the things that have happened afterwards. People have developed addictions to these boards and communication, and they will get raised welts. They'll have other issues. If that's not paranormal in nature, what is it, and how can we cause that to ourselves? We'll talk with Dr. Shermer about that on Friday. And guess what's coming next week, Tim?
What's next week?
Dark Waters is rising.
Nice.
Yeah, our good friend Dark Waters is going to be here sharing some of the freakiest paranormal stories he's been able to collect since our last visit. So we'll be talking with Dark Waters sometime next week. All right, let's get started, shall we, Tim? Supernatural news time. Where will we begin tonight's journey?
A phone booth in Japan, Dave, where there is no Superman.
There is no Superman?
No, it's just where you can call the dead.
Well, that's pretty Superman.
Well,
see what I did there? That's pretty Superman. It's like it was a pun, a play on words.
I took
the theme you brought.
Yeah.
All right. So what's going on? You could talk to the dead at a phone booth in Japan?
Yes, you can.
Or China. Did you say China?
No, I said Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Thought maybe I was having a Mandela moment.
Turns
out it's just a senior moment.
That's what it was.
All right. So a phone booth in Japan.
Yes. In 2011, an earthquake and tsunami tore through Japan. Almost 16,000 people died during the natural disaster, and many communities across the country still have not recovered. But one coastal Japanese town is dealing with its grief in a unique way. A white telephone booth with glass panels. Pardon me.
It's easy for you to say.
No, it's not.
Say, everybody, listen to Tim.
The phone booth, which only has a disconnected rotary phone inside, has become a popular destination for residents who are still dealing with grief. It sits atop a grassy hill in Otsuchi, overlooking, or it could be Atsuchi, overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Atsuchi is a town that was decimated in the disaster. The entire area caved in within 30 minutes, and 10% of the town's population was killed.
10%?
10%.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But 1 year before the disaster, Itaro Sasaki installed the phone booth in his garden to help himself move past the death of his cousin. Because my thoughts couldn't be relayed over a regular phone line, Sasaki told This American Life in September. I wanted them to be carried on the wind, was his quote. The booth has since become the wind phone and has become a sort of pilgrimage for those dealing with the death of a loved one.
Huh.
In the 3 years after the disaster, the booth received over 10,000 visitors, according to local reports. Some come to make one special phone call. Others are regular visitors who dial up deceased loved ones and fill them in. In the years since it became a pilgrimage point, the wind phone has been the center of both a TV documentary and an NPR special report. For those who wish to visit, Atsuchi is accessible, rather, from Tokyo by either high-speed rail or even a seven-hour car ride, which I will not be taking.
No.
The phone booth is located on a hill just outside the city.
And is that hill outdoors?
Probably,
yeah,
yes.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go out of doors to talk to a phone booth where there's nothing there.
But you can change into Superman.
You know, there is some closure to that. I've found myself calling my mom's cell phone a few times since she passed.
Yeah.
Just to hear the voicemail, just to leave a message. And sometimes I feel ridiculous doing it, and other times it's just like, yeah, I need to talk. And, you know, sometimes you feel stupid talking to the air. So I can, you know, if it's a healing thing, God bless them. That's a great point.
That's right.
All right. Where will we go next, Tim?
The following is an audio daily double.
Really?
We go to North Dakota, our state to the west.
Really?
North and west,
We're going to North Dakota? What did I do wrong?
North Dakota. This is what we used to call summer punishment when I was a kid.
Was it? Having to go to North Dakota?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I had a friend who every summer his family would go to North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say, what did you do wrong that you had to go to North Dakota? And he said, there's nothing there, Tim. All that's there is like a bunch of land and a Dairy Queen. And I thought,
that sounds all right.
I know, right? Yeah. I thought, well, what's so bad about that?
Yeah.
There's a Dairy Queen.
Yep. Yeah.
But
everything's better with Dairy Queen.
I know, right? But now we're going to get.
Hint, we could always use a new corporate sponsor, DQ.
Wink. And Dilly Bars.
Yes.
Wink. So please send your North Dakota hate mail to dave@darknessradio.com. We go to North Dakota. Where a man says,
I don't think they have the internet there yet, Tim.
Oh, that's true. They don't. Send your smoke signals to dave@darknessradio.com or just shoot some oil over this way, one or the other.
Wow, yeah.
It's a big oil place.
Is.
Yeah. A North Dakota man says he has tracked Bigfoot after reported sighting. We go to whatever they'd use for news over in North Dakota. I don't know. It may be Carrier Pigeon.
It's an actual news station.
It may be Pony Express.
I think it also doubles as the DQ down the road,
okay.
If I'm correct.
We go to the DQ in Ellendale, North Dakota for this report.
The latest Bigfoot sighting is right here on North Dakota Prairie.
Some in Ellendale believe Sasquatch took a walk through rural Dickey County this Christmas. WDAY 6 reporter Catherine Ross tells us how one man tracked the animal and the evidence, he says, can't be made up.
It's the kind of folklore you see in grainy photos and hear in campfire stories.
It's a Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Gigantopithecus, whatever you want to call him.
But what about rural North Dakota?
He's a real animal. He's here. I want people to know.
Christopher Bauer is an experienced trapper near Ellendale.
Picked up the trail down that way.
But a Christmas Day track is more extraordinary than the outdoorsman has ever seen.
And then cross the highway here. And then made his way to the hills out there, I think.
Bauer started on the trail after a family friend spotted something alarming through her kitchen window.
She described him as a large, hairy, ugly monster. And I guess that kind of describes if a Sasquatch is looking through the window at you.
That monster left miles of tracks. 18 by 8 inch footprints like this.
He has a 4 foot stride, and when he hits, he makes a very deep large impression.
Bauer says he tracked hundreds of footprints for more than 7 miles here. That's when he says Bigfoot disappeared into the hills.
Two places where he kicked up the snow and reached down and picked up either a mouse or a vole or something like that.
Bauer knows many people won't believe what he found, but he says the tracks are too perfect to be a hoax. He hopes someone will get video evidence of the mysterious creature, but he also hopes to find that proof without any harm coming to Bigfoot.
The truth is out there. It's there. I know he is. I tracked him.
Reporting in Dickey County, Catherine Ross, WDAY 6 News.
So there you go. Evidently,
Dickey County.
Evidently, he just Bigfoot. He'll be lumbering along, and he'll just pick up a mouse or a vole for a snack.
Oh, when you're hungry, Tim,
like popcorn chicken.
Oh, there's nothing better than a mouse or a vole. What's a vole?
A vole? Isn't that one of the Tennessee team? Tennessee
That's
Vols?
The Volunteers.
Have voles on the side?
I don't know.
Of
what's a vole? Is it like a mouse? Is it like a mole?
Yeah.
Is it like a victimized mole? A vole?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's a victimized mole. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's exactly what
it is. Or is it a vegan mole?
It's a vegan mole.
Yeah,
you got it.
You know, the rest of us would call it a pine cone, but
right.
To Bigfoot, it's a vole.
Right. Right. And that is exactly what they only eat pine needles and Dairy Queen.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ooh, I would not want to pass a pine needle.
I wouldn't want to pass the Dairy Queen along with it either.
Pass the Dairy Queen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
I never have. I always stop.
It's good to have you back.
A lactose intolerant vole. Think about that for a minute.
Lactose intolerant Bigfoot. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, my.
Man, that's a big brew right
You'd
there.
You'd always find a scat, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, in Dickey County.
In Dickey County, North Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Where else are we going to go in the world of strange and supernatural news?
Well, I have exclusive haunted museum news.
What?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news.
Let me get out my toolkit. I need to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Zach Bagans is going to display one of the most dangerous paranormal possessions in the world. It's in his pants.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
No, it's not.
I've always wanted to use that line.
Really?
Yeah, but no, I did. Yeah.
Good job.
It's not going to get me any brownie points,
nope,
is it?
Nope, not at all.
All right. Excited about visiting Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum when it opens?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, of course he is. The latest story, though, this latest addition to Zach's House of Madness.
Right.
I'm quoting the article here.
Right.
Well, it's going to be up to you whether or not you take your chances and take a look. Zach has just informed this person who wrote this article exclusively that he's now in possession of the famous Peggy the Doll.
Not Peggy the Doll.
Peggy the Doll, Dave.
Wow.
What the hell's Peggy the Doll?
Oh, keep reading. You'll find out. Yeah.
Which he obtained from its previous owner, Jane Harris from England.
Mm-hmm. Take a good long look at the picture of Peggy the Doll first. Yeah, you like it. You like what you
that
see.
That one right there.
Yeah.
Oh. Image edited for my protection.
Uh-huh. Mm. Exactly. But you just look at it anyway.
It's ribbed, though.
Mm-hmm. What does it say?
It says image edited for your protection.
Uh-huh. And why? You'll find out when you continue with this article.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let me not jump ahead.
Yeah.
I'm one of those that likes to jump ahead to the end of the book.
Yeah.
You know, spoil it for myself. Let's see here. Okay, so it was obtained from its previous owner, Jane Harris from England, featured on an episode of his series Deadly Possessions. Peggy is not for the faint of heart. It's said that you can be affected by Peggy by just looking at her in person or in photos.
Yeah, I was trying to get you to look at her.
That's why you
do it.
Oh, you wanted me to be affected by Peggy.
Yeah, but they've edited the picture to protect you.
I'll tell you what I'd do to Peggy if she were here right now. I mean, what?
Stop it.
I don't know. Is she inflatable?
No.
Oh.
She's creepy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As a result, Deadly Possessions aired the episode with a disclaimer for viewers, a first for both the show and the paranormal in general. Peggy the Doll has a long and storied paranormal history. It's said to be one of the most haunted and dangerous dolls in the world. It is believed that Peggy is possessed by the spirit of a woman born in 1946 in London's Holland Park, who died of a chest-related condition, possibly an asthma attack, and psychics have speculated that said woman could be of Jewish descent and may have ties to the Holocaust. We may never know the exact identity of the entity inhabiting the doll, but her effects on people have been well documented. It's also believed that in addition to causing violent migraines and severe chest pains, the entity, don't say hit too often an entity.
What?
I'm just saying.
What?
It can be misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
Can even affect a person's dreams and predict tragedies. Back in 2015, a video of Peggy hit YouTube, and it's been reported that over 80 people who watched it suffered chest pains, nausea, and crippling headaches.
It's a lot like my prom picture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Over 80 people have seen it?
Well, it causes headaches and nausea.
Oh, yeah. I see.
In my powder blue tuxedo.
That's kind of
dark
hip,
blue piping.
Yeah.
Kind of
hip.
It was hit in the 80s.
Did you have the ruffled shirt?
What do I look like, some kind of amateur? Of course I did.
Really? Dark blue tie?
Uh-huh. My fluffed back hair. My wham hair.
Nice.
Yeah.
You were stunned.
I was.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I got laid. It happened in the 80s.
Did you still have it?
The ability to get laid? On occasion.
No, I mean the suit.
Oh, no. Tim, no. I agree with that. I don't think my left leg could fit in my tuxedo from high school.
We can let it out. We can go to a tailor.
We're going to have to let it out. I let it out. I let it let free. It's a free-range tuxedo.
you let it free back into the wild?
Get away! Stupid suit!
I never liked you anyways! where was I? Oh, yes. This is something that, no matter what you believe, should not be trifled with. Not right. Dave's suit, but Peggy the doll.
Right.
I was very skeptical of his claim until the doll caused very terrifying activity during her filming, including manifestation of flies, camera problems, negative mental effects on me, poltergeist activity, said Baggins. Peggy the doll will be displayed at the Haunted Museum because why not go take a look at her yourself?
Right.
But releases will have to be signed should visitors want to see her.
Mm.
He added, I've met many haunted dolls, including Robert the doll and Harold the doll. Funny, they don't have last names, I think, to protect their anonymity.
I think the last name is the doll.
Oh.
Yeah.
But none have ever affected me as bad as Peggy the doll.
Mm-hmm. See?
Maybe she's got a little savoir-faire.
We are family.
When we were filming with her on Deadly Possessions, flies manifested out of nowhere and swarmed me, and then I had a dark energy overcome me, said Baggins. I interviewed a woman who told me while crying she suffered a heart attack within seconds of looking at her, and there was no doubting her. We also did a seance with Peggy and a well-known medium, and we heard a typewriter start typing by itself. Typewriting by itself! I just made up a word!
Oof.
Typewriting! In closing, Zach told us, Peggy is the type of haunted doll that will put your bravery to the test if you will look at her or not. And there will be strict guidelines for those who choose to view her exhibit at the Haunted Museum, including signing releases. So the question is,
yes,
how brave are you, Dave?
Brave enough that I would go look at a haunted doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're
afraid of no dolls.
Yeah. Also at the museum.
But I'm only look with one eye just in case so that my luck is only half as crappy.
Well, yeah.
See?
Yeah, thinking. I see what you're doing.
I'm a thinker.
I would go in with an eye patch.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd be like the pushing it pirate. That's what I would call
me?
It. The pushing it pirate, Dave.
Really? Good to
I would
know.
Go in and.
No, I don't want to know anymore.
And I would push it. I would push it real good. I would just go up to that doll and.
Push it.
I'd say, I'm pushing it.
Push it.
I'm pushing it right here, Peggy.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would say. Along with other things in the museum, you can see Michael Jackson's death scene chair, Ed Gein's cauldron, Dr. Jack Kevorkian's van, and a throng of working antique mechanical dolls.
You think Kevorkian had a hard time getting any in that van?
I hear there was candy and a puppy.
Was there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good God.
I hear that's how they got people in there to assist themselves.
So thank you for coming with me to this drive-in movie. is this the van? Does that bother you?
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
The chairs are comfortable.
Would you like some Topofol with your popcorn?
Feel free to strap yourself
that's
in.
That's creepy. Mm-hmm. He owns a cauldron from Ed Gein.
Yeah.
He owns the death chair of Michael Jackson. It's the chair that was right next to it. It's got like makeup on the wings.
Yeah.
From when Michael would sit there and nod off.
Yeah.
I guess that's where Conrad Murray would give him his shots of propofol, right? Yeah. No, propofol is.
I think you're right.
Propofol.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, will I go? Of course.
Yeah.
Because I love seeing weird stuff.
Of course.
As soon as they open it, we're just waiting to hear the big announcement of when it'll be open.
Right.
All right. What else have you got for me?
Well, it says here a bizarre footage of multiple UFOs hovering near the Mexican border. I'm not seeing much news underneath it. Just that a video was uploaded to Instagram showing a fleet of UFO flashing lights near the Mexican border, and it went missing. and then re-uploaded to Paranormal Blog Site Secure Team. But there's a video here. I could play it.
Really? I thought there was a story that went with it. Did you scroll down? Is there anything below there? Nothing.
Pictures.
Oh, sorry. I sent you that without it.
Lots of pretty pictures.
Oh, picky. Yeah. Well, take a look at the video. Is there audio with it?
Pictures. There is audio with it. I did see a little bit of it earlier. Let's play a little bit for the people, shall we?
Sure.
Here they're looking up into the sky. I'll do play-by-play. There's a flag flying in the background. Okay. Obviously telling us it's Mexico.
Do you see anything in the sky?
I see
gray clouds.
Gray skies.
I see clouds of gray.
And people looking up. They haven't quite got the camera angle on the seal yet.
No.
Okay, now they look. Okay, now I see four what look like lights in the sky.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
People are like, oh.
Is that what they're like?
That was it.
So did you saw the lights in the sky?
I did, yeah. I saw the four lights.
All right.
Yeah.
Did they look UFO-ish?
Looked like it could have been four streetlights for all I know. But they could have been.
How dare you question our neighbors to the west?
Well, listen, here's the deal.
Oh, God. An explanation.
If you're going to be on the North Dakota-Mexican border.
Yes.
You gotta.
On a Mexican radio.
You gotta keep your head about you.
Yeah.
When looking at stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because you never know. It could just be the lights from the Sears parking lot.
Could be.
That's all it could be.
Or Kohl's.
Or Kohl's. Could be the lights from the Kohl's parking lot.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Where else are we going to go?
We are going to talk about a paranormal investigator who got some spooky footage showing a Wakefield ghost. I take it this is in that there, England, Dave.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be there this year. September 2017, it's Darkness Radio's British Invasion.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with anywhere from 30 to 40 of our listeners.
Are you going
to
show up in Liverpool?
Yeah.
With a guitar?
Actually, I'm going a couple days early with a few friends.
Okay.
And we're going to follow the Beatles trail.
Ah.
I'm going to see if I can catch me a Beatle.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do once you have them?
Well, I don't know. I'm
going to ransom them?
I'm bringing a Nehru jacket to try to lure them out.
A Nehru jacket. Holy 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, almost 60 now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do a little bit of a Beatles tour before we do the full-on ghost tour with our listeners. If you're interested, email me, dave@darknessradio.com, about our England trip. And as soon as that's up and available in the next week, I'll get you the information and get you started. But, what's going on in England, Tim?
Well, a paranormal investigator claims to have caught a ghost on camera while in the cellar of a home in a Wakefield city center. 51-year-old Mark Vernon captured the footage at a property on Marsland Place after being called in to investigate. He said there had been some strange noises coming in from the cellar. The lady who lived there couldn't understand what was happening. I can detect paranormal things, and as soon as I arrived, I knew something was down there. Down where? I spent some time sat in the corner, he said, waiting and watching. You see me get up and walk towards the camera, and as I was going to replace the batteries, and the ghost comes out from the wall behind me. It's quite impressive what I got on film. Whatever it was quite big and fast. Kind of like O.J. Simpson.
What?
Well, he was big and fast back in the day, Dave.
Yeah,
when he was
still too soon.
Running for the Buffalo
too
Bills.
Too soon.
All right. But I'm glad I didn't see it. I wouldn't want to hit. He said I wouldn't want to bump into it on my own.
Well, who would?
Mr. Vernon said he also heard footsteps, rustling noises, and had caught various orbs on film while carrying out work at the house. He said he had researched the property and believes the home was partly built on a graveyard, which would explain the strange happenings. And, of course, the video, which you can't see because it's a podcast, was supplied by Mr. Vernon. So thank you, Mr. Vernon.
Thank you, Mr. Vernon.
For your video.
Yeah.
Just figured I'd thank him. Nobody ever thanks Mr. Vernon for his video.
Have you seen it? I mean, it does look like there's something big.
Yeah.
That, like a mist-like figure that rushes the camera.
Yeah.
Why don't you put it up on your Facebook page, Tim?
Put it up on my Facebook page?
Yeah, so people can see it. They can go check out your Facebook page and friend you there.
I normally reserve that for creepy stuff other than ghost stuff.
Let people come see it.
I got a picture of me shaving my back on my
that's not a good,
Facebook page.
That's,
is that not a
terrifying.
Good thing?
No, that's horrifying.
Okay.
All right, what else have you got for us?
Well, we all love the paranormal comedies, Dave.
We do?
Every single one that comes out is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new one out there.
There is.
Mm-hmm. Fox has ordered a paranormal comedy starring Adam Scott and Craig Robinson You heard it here first, folks. Get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's it all about?
The pilot is, again, starring Craig Robinson and Adam Scott. It's currently titled Ghosted. The single-camera series would follow a cynical skeptic, Robinson, and a genius true believer in the paranormal played by Adam Scott are recruited by the Bureau Underground to look into the rampant, unexplained activity in Los Angeles, all while uncovering a larger mystery that could threaten the existence of the human race. Robinson and Scott will serve as executive producers on the project, along with Naomi Scott, Ole Obst, which is the best name I could read all night, and Mark Schulman. Tom Gormican will write and executive produce the pilot. Kevin Etten will executive produce and serve as showrunner. Three Arts and Getting Rad Productions.
Yeah, Getting Rad Productions.
Getting Rad will produce in association with 20th Century Fox Television.
Good.
The series sounds like a comedy version of The X-Files, which I know all X-Files fans are looking forward to, which might hold over fans. It says it might hold over fans of that series. I don't think it will. Well, the network holds works out schedules, rather, with Chris Carter, Gillian Anderson, and David Duchovny.
God, they got to come back soon.
Yeah, they do. This is the third comedy pilot Fox has ordered this season. The network previously ordered Thin Ice from New Girl creator Liz Merriweather, which follows a woman who travels to Antarctica and must contend with a crew of misfits. And they also ordered Linda from HR, a single-camera comedy about a human resources rep whose life descends into a dangerous tailspin of balancing work life, home life, and a secret that could unravel everything, Dave.
After hearing that, I now know why the doomsday clock is changing.
Yeah, that's why I moved up 30 seconds, Dave.
Yeah, we've got that story. Tell people about this, Tim. The doomsday clock. First of all, what the hell is the doomsday clock?
We're all doomed, Dave, doomed!
We are.
Yeah, wow. We're doomed.
It's weird that people would keep that clock.
I know. Wouldn't you have, like, thrown it away second Iraq War? Isn't that when you would have gotten rid of it?
Possibly.
Yeah, I don't know. They still keep it around, though, Dave. I don't know if it's sentimental value or couldn't get rid of it in the garage sale. Whatever it was, we still have a doomsday clock, and it's moved 30 seconds closer to midnight as threat of global annihilation grows.
Wow, this is a cheery story.
Well, now, here's the deal. There's half the country that'll say, oh, this is poppycock, which, by the way,
says that? I don't think half the country uses that.
Well,
this sounds like poppycock.
I just love poppycock, Dave. Have you ever gotten it from the store? I mean, it's right next to the Cracker Jacks and right by the...
Wait, now what?
It's very good.
So they're calling poppycock because why?
Well, they would call poppycock because they say, well, we love what's being done right now in office. And then the other...
Wait. So the doomsday clock, they're actually attesting, saying that they're moving it closer to midnight because of Donald Trump.
You could say that.
Really? Well, are they saying that? Is that specifically denoted in the article?
Yes, it is, Dave.
Wow.
And here's why.
Okay.
And now people are going to say, you're putting a political slant on it.
No, we're just reading the story.
Here it is.
I was asking for.
Here's why.
What the story says.
The doomsday clock symbolizes the current threat of global annihilation. It's been moved 30 seconds closer to midnight by scientists. Now, the countdown was established in 1947 by a group of experts who were working on the Manhattan Project to design and build the first atomic bomb. They wanted a simple way of demonstrating the danger to Earth and humanity posed by nuclear war.
Mm.
The clock was running at 3 minutes to midnight, where 00.00 represents the end of humanity. In other words, straight up midnight, folks. Or military time, 00.00. But the bulletin of the atomic scientists moved it forward by 30 seconds on Thursday, just 30 seconds away from the closest it has been to the apocalypse since 1953, when the U.S. took the decision to upgrade its nuclear arsenal with the hydrogen bomb. The doomsday clock not only takes into account the likelihood of nuclear Armageddon, but also other emerging threats such as climate change and advances in biotechnology and artificial intelligence, Dave.
Doom, 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 doom.
Right?
Doom, 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 doom.
In a statement.
Doom, 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 doom. Although you'd think if artificial intelligence were really a fear, it would have moved the clock on its own. Thank you.
Notice,
mic drop.
Notice, Dave, they don't take zombie apocalypse into it.
Because that's what's going to get us all.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Because it's not a real fear to the doomsday people.
Whatever.
I win the Twinkies. Mm-hmm. In a statement, the Bulletin's executive director, Rachel Bronson, said today's complex global environment is in need of deliberate and considered policy responses. It is ever more important that senior leaders across the globe calm rather than stoke tensions that could lead to war, either by accident or miscalculation.
Do it by accident.
Well.
Is this the button to push for my lunch?
Well, no!
Oh, it's launch.
Launch. Yeah.
I don't know. How do you accidentally push yourselves closer to Armageddon?
There are ways.
Are you getting it?
There are ways. On Sunday, the Bulletin posted a new article on its site warning that terrorism involving nuclear or radiological materials remains one of the gravest threats to humanity and to global stability.
Damn it. I wanted to see the new Affleck Batman movie.
Yeah, me too. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, the script is kind of messed up according to what you hear. You know,
but if nuclear annihilation is right around the corner, I don't know where we're going to ever get that chance to see.
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather see a messed up Batman movie than be annihilated.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Yeah. The scientists also warned of accidental, unauthorized, or inadvertent nuclear exchange between the United States and Russia, saying that the two countries had 800 warheads on high alert ready to launch.
Sheesh.
Mm-hmm. The clock was last moved in 2015 when the scientists took it 2 minutes forward so that it currently reads 3 minutes to midnight. That sent a message that the Earth was closer to oblivion than any time since the early days of the hydrogen bomb testing in 1984 when U.S.-Soviet relations reached their iciest point in decades.
How'd you like to have the job being the guy that has to keep moving it closer?
Well, we're in the digital.
You show up to work that day, you're working out, and you hear.
Tim Dennis, please report to the giant clock.
Are you like, oh, crap?
Well, and look at this guy. Here's the poor soul who has to move the thing. I mean, it's still made out of cardboard.
Sure.
Like a sixth grade art project.
Well,
we're in a digital age. Shouldn't he be able to press
the
button?
That's what I said. Well, no, because that's the whole deal. You don't want to go digital. If they're truly worried about AI, you don't want AI nudging that number.
Oh, Skynet taking over the doomsday
that's
clock.
That's right. Doom, 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 doom.
Right.
Doom, 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 doom,
see
doom,
what
doom.
You're doing there.
I've come to stop the clock. I've come from Dickey County, North Dakota, to stop the clock.
I just got Sasquatch down on the ground eating a vole.
Things are getting horrible.
Ooh, deep-fried vole. You think they got that at the Hooters there in North Dakota?
The Hooters. I don't think there's a Hooters in North Dakota, Tim.
Probably a Knockers. It's probably a knockoff.
Knockers.
The Knockers at North Dakota?
Probably not.
Mm. Last year, the clock's hands, which have moved forwards and backwards in different years over the past decades, remained unchanged. A statement accompanying the 2016 Doomsday Clock decision read, 3 minutes to midnight is too close. Far too close.
Wow, I'm glad that they released that press release because I would not have figured out that 3 minutes to midnight and global annihilation is too close.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. I'd have thought, I still have 3 minutes.
They said, we, the members of the Science and Security Board of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, have a name that's way too long.
Right.
No, they said,
you really worried? Because in the last minute, we know Bruce Willis is going to cut the red wire and save us all. Glover's going to go, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, and then save us from ourselves, really. Yeah. I mean, I know that.
Yeah. So what are we all worried about? Doomsday clock, schmock.
And then Liv Tyler goes on to live happily ever after with Ben Affleck, right? God.
I would love to live happily ever after with Liv Tyler.
Wouldn't we?
Or Ben Affleck, either one. Well, I'm not picky.
Is he going to turn into Batman, though?
I just want to be loved.
These scientists want to be clear about their decision not to move the hands of the doomsday clock in 2016. That decision is not good news, but an expression of dismay that world leaders failed to focus their efforts and the world's attention on reducing the extreme danger posed by nuclear weapons and climate change. They said when we call these dangers existential, and that is exactly what we mean, they threaten the very existence of civilization and therefore should be the first order of business for leaders who care about their constituents and their countries. The clock was originally set to 7 minutes to midnight and the world reached.
Oh, wait a minute. So it's not like it started at 11:01. It started. So we've only in 50 years, but more than that, right?
No, oh, wait a minute.
70 years. Mm-hmm. We've only gone a couple of notches.
No. Wait. We got to our safest point in 1991.
When Tupperware came up?
Yes. When bubble wrap was invented in 1991.
All right, everybody, reel the clock back. We have bubble wrap.
We got to 17 minutes to midnight. Mm. The Cold War officially ended, and we found memory foam beds, I think, is what happened.
That's nice.
And then the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty greatly reduced the number of strategic nuclear weapons deployed by the U.S. and Russia. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we were at 17 minutes. Now we're at 2.5 minutes.
Oof. Well, let's see. You had the death of George Michael. You had the death of Prince. You had the death of Glenn Frey.
Right.
Who is the other big, massive music? David Bowie. So do you think that just kept clicking it closer?
Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merle Haggard, too, yeah.
When a crotchety, grizzled country artist who drank himself straight to the grave dies, I think, yeah, we move that clock.
Do we?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, if he can die, we all can die, Dave. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope when it comes, they wake me up before they go, Tim.
Oh, God, Dave. Yeah. You had to bring that up. I'm going to cry.
Don't touch the arm of the clock. I'm here to save civilization.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right. So the clock is changing.
The clock is changing. And as we get closer and closer to war, it'll keep going.
That's not good. Yeah. How depressing. Do you think that's the one guy's job? Or is he also the janitor?
I think he's the piss boy.
Clean up in aisle 4, and don't forget to change the clock to 12 seconds before midnight.
I think he's the guy that not only moves the arms on the clock, but he changes the urinal cakes, too.
Oh, where do you think the clock jumped? When we were at 17 minutes, I'd like to see what happened in November 5 years ago when Twinkie died.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that clock jumped from 17 minutes to like 3 minutes before, and that's where it sat since then.
Oh, yeah.
You don't take Twinkie away from civilization the doomsday clock to jump, Tim.
Don't screw with a Twinkie.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
God. All right. What have you got for me there?
Well, let's see here. We already read that. Yeah, let's move on to this retired policeman's adventures from ancient aliens to Lake Hudson.
Okay.
It's a cute little story. Though he now owns and runs the Plum Tree RV Park, Selena, with his wife, Helen, Ken Storch can't leave his past behind. In particular, his life has been changed.
I was gonna say, really? You can't leave his wife?
His wife had a change.
All right.
No, his life has been changed by something he witnessed when he was in the Air Force in 1973. That incident started a career as a paranormal investigator.
Really?
Which led to guest appearances on dozens of TV shows and documentaries, including Ancient Aliens, UFO Files, UFO Hunters, and Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged on UFOs.
Yes.
That one's familiar.
Uh-huh.
Storch, a retired Colorado policeman, was in the Air Force from 1969 to 1974. In 1973, he was stationed in the Communications Center at Offutt Air Force Base near Omaha. In charge of communications, teletype, radio, and computer, Storch decoded messages. That's right, kids, he had a talent.
Wow.
One night at 2 a.m., a top-secret Crypto R message came in, but it wasn't in code, Storch told the Times.
That was drink more Ovaltine. Damn it! That's the code, Tim. That was the code.
Such a waste of code. Mm-hmm. And that had never happened, he said. Then the words came through. Alert, alert, alert. Mm-hmm. Evidently, it was the robot from Lost in Space.
Yeah. Shut up, you bubble-headed booby.
5 UFOs picked up by NORAD coming in over Pacific Northwest was the message.
Wow.
The first thought was it was a Russian submarine taking out SAC headquarters. But that changed in a matter of seconds when they all went out over the western United States, and it became a full alert, said Storch. Eventually, Storch said Nixon. He became Russian.
Older Richard Nixon. Yes.
Picked up the bat phone and called the Kremlin. That's what it says here.
Really?
And called the Kremlin, and they said it wasn't theirs.
Hello, Cape Crusader. We need your help. The Kremlin.
Hello?
Oh, really? I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. If you pick up that hotline thinking that the Russians have fired, does the Kremlin go, oh, yeah, that's us. No, I'm sorry. We should have warned you, but it was a mistake. I was using my feather duster and hit the button. Please forgive.
How is it the kids are saying these days? My bad.
My bad. Like, seriously, was Russia going to admit to it? Or do you think they're like... No, nothing to worry about.
He's okay. I was pointing it one way, it fired another. That's what she said.
Right.
Storch was debriefed and handed over all hard copies and carbon copies of the incident and told that he had seen nothing and nothing had occurred.
Much like my college career.
Right.
I'd seen nothing and nothing occurred.
Did they hand you your transcripts and tell you that too?
No.
Oh, they did that to me.
It was just Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones showed up with a little pen light, and the next thing I knew, I was living with you.
Oh, well, congratulations. Uh-huh. You got the raw end of the deal. Yet Storch was left with the question, if those things weren't ours and they weren't the Russians, what the hell were they?
Doom, 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 doom.
Skynet.
Doom, 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 doom.
Flash forward to 1993. Storch was on a season of Cops. Really? Let's hope he was on the right side of it.
Yeah, well, he's a retired cop. I'm guessing he was.
Yeah, and was good friends with Cops producer Kevin Barry.
Mm-hmm.
One day we were sitting in the backyard smoking cigars and drinking Jack Daniels, and we got to talking about space travel, said Storch. Because that's what two guys do.
Mm-hmm.
That talk led to a Tower Productions video, The Unexplained. He said, I came out of the closet in 1995, said Storch, who decided he needed to tell his fellow policeman that he was a paranormal investigator in his spare time. He added, it was not a career-enhancing move.
I bet.
Still, Storch, who calls himself an objective skeptic, used the same police detective tactics to investigate paranormal activity.
Is that his rapper name?
Yes, it is.
Objective Skeptic?
Objective Skeptic.
Yo, 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 put your paws to get a funny Objective Skeptic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm here to tell you I didn't think it happened.
All right.
I research and acquire reasonable evidence and look for probable cause, said Storch in the most businesslike tone he could muster. Storch took some flack at the police station for his extracurricular work. If anything involved illegal immigrants, they would say, send Storch. He knows how to handle aliens. And then they'd laugh and they'd laugh.
Oh, it's fun.
It is fun. He also got a nice collection of tinfoil filling up his work locker. But the joking, I like these guys. I want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
They're pretty funny. But the joking didn't stop Storch from making videos, conference appearances, or guest appearances on numerous shows throughout the years, all while continuing to explore UFOs. In 2005, Storch retired from the Aurora Police Department, and he and his wife began looking for a change. They decided they wanted to buy an RV park and run it, as opposed to just staying in it.
Mm-hmm.
Their search took them through Colorado, Kansas, and Missouri before ending up in Oklahoma. They were passing through Salina after looking at an RV park on Grand Lake, and someone at the convenience store told them about Plumtree being for sale. Storch grew up in Chesterfield, Missouri, said they enjoy living in the area. He does not promote himself, but often does get recognized around town as... quote, that alien guy. And that's the name of that tune.
All right, it's time to take a break. And when we come back, it's Parashare time here on Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
We're back here on Beyond the Darkness. It's time for Parashare. For those of you new to the show, this is the time for you to shine. We'll be looking at your emails and your own paranormal encounters that you care to share with us. So we're going to read those, share them, and you can always send your stories in to me at dave@darknessradio.com. Hi, Dave. Been listening to your show on 640 radio up here, about 30 miles east of Toronto in Canada. I think that's when I was doing Coast to Coast.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I believe that's what they're talking about. I'm an ex-Toronto cop, and I've had lots of strange, scary, unexplainable, and also funny experiences in that capacity. This one, however, is personal, lasted about 5 seconds, and kind of blew my mind. Not scary blown, just wow. Did that really just happen? Going back about 30 years, I met my wife by introduction from her older sister, Edna, who I occasionally dated but was also a good friend of for about 2 years. Sad to say, about 6 months after I started dating my wife, Edna had an abscess tooth pulled and it refused to heal. This apparently was a catalyst for a fast-moving form of cancer, which took her within about 6 weeks. Mm. She was only 32. About 4 weeks after her passing, I was at my wife's, Gloria's, apartment, and about 3 a.m. got up to head to the call of nature, if you know what I mean. At this point, let me describe the apartment. Front door opens into the living room directly in front of you through a doorway to the left. The kitchen and dining room running alongside the living room. Turning right from the front door living room, there is a 30-foot hallway leading to two bedrooms off to the left and the bathroom at the end of the hall. Okay, now, I got you oriented, I hope. As I come out of the bathroom and the light from it illuminates the front door living room area, I see, plain as day, kind of kneeling on the floor, imagine a runner in the ready position at the start of a race, is Edna. She's wearing a burgundy collared blouse, dark pants, and her hair is quite long. It had been cut back due to the disease, and the look on her face is one of total surprise at my sudden appearance. At this sight, I say something like, Jesus Christ, probably quite loudly, as Gloria, who has been lying awake in bed, waiting her turn, comes running out of the bedroom to see what's happening. Of course, by that time, her sister's gone. I am, to say the least, quite shaken. I explain to her what I saw, and then we go down the hall to investigate. Needless to say, there was no one there. But, cue the spooky music, lying on the floor where it had fallen off the buffet is a 5x10 framed picture of Edna, wearing the same outfit, hair worn long and smiling at us. Still gives me chills in retelling this tale. Thanks for listening. That comes from Tom McKee. Well, Tom, thank you for sharing your story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's something. Again, that kind of follows into the old who's haunting who.
Yeah.
Right? Was Edna tying her shoes and all of a sudden she saw the appearance of what was a male ghost to her standing there?
Yep.
At some point in her history, boy, it'd be great to know if she ever had a paranormal experience there.
Yeah.
Here's another one. It says, in the early 80s, in our newly built house, footsteps would walk toward my bedroom. I would wake up and look toward the door opening, and there would be nobody there. It happened every so often, but not every night. I can say it only happened when I was alone. My husband worked until midnight. Our new home in this development was built on previously forested land. It is an area where the Native American Puyallup people lived in earlier times up in Washington State. Our development was possibly built on an ancient burial ground. What do you think? One night, I heard the front door open downstairs. I heard all of my things my husband would do when, or I heard all of the things my husband would do when he got home late at night after work. Except, he came home later and said he had not been there earlier. I believe him because he thought I was nuts when I said he had been there before. I heard dishes clanging, the refrigerator opening and closing, etc. And that comes from Dee Dee. That's kind of like my aunt. She used to live with my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a, he'd come home late at night after hitting the Shamrose Tavern up the road from their house.
Okay.
And he'd go up there a couple times a week and have beers and hang out with his friends. She'd go to bed. He'd come in and, hang his keys up, take the boots off, hang up the hat, go make something to drink or eat in the kitchen, and then head off to either watch TV or go to bed. She hears all this and she's like, oh, okay, daddy's finally home. She's laying there and all of a sudden her phone rings. She reaches over and grabs the phone. And this is, late 60s, early 70s. There is no such thing as caller ID. And phones, Tim,
right,
were still tethered to the wall.
What?
It's true. You had to plug them into the wall.
Savages.
Where magic elves would connect your call to someone else.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's a fact. Read it on Google.
Same ones that made cookies?
No. Totally. Those are Keebler elves. And
oh,
they're kind of the lowest rung of the elf tree.
I see.
But the fact is that she got a call and she answers it. She's like, hello. And it's my grandfather calling from the bar, saying he's going to be a little later than usual.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Weird. But she heard him go through the natural rhythm of what he would normally do when he came home.
Huh.
So she was pretty terrified until he finally did get home.
Yeah, I bet.
Here's one. My mother loved playing the Wizard of Oz penny slot machine at Pechanga Casino in city of Temecula. In April 2009, my mother passed away. September 2009, Pechanga sent me a $250 free play credits. I went to Pechanga late at night around 10 p.m., and I won $799,945.46 progressive on her machine.
Wow.
When the machine hit, it started playing the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And that comes from David Bitzer. Wow. What Jeez. A gift. First of all, I'd been happy to get a $250 card.
Yeah.
And then he goes and turns it into almost $1 million, Tim.
Jeez.
Pretty amazing.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Congrats.
Hi, Dave and Tim. I love listening to your show. I discovered it about a year ago, and I listen faithfully. I grew up in Indianapolis and moved to Texas at 24. I got involved in the paranormal community back in 2003 and or so and wound up running a ghost hunting group. I loved it, and I definitely miss it. I met my Danish husband in Afghanistan. Holy God, I'm going to need like a flow chart to keep up with this story. So she's she grew up in Indianapolis, moved to Texas,
right.
Had a ghost group, mm-hmm. met her Danish husband in Afghanistan.
There you go.
With the lead pipe in the basement with Professor Plum.
I think you got it.
Yeah. She met her Danish husband in Afghanistan when we, both civilians, were stationed there. In 2013, I moved from my Texas house to Denmark. Now, there will be a test after this, Tim, so make sure you've been jotting notes.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting about my Texas house was that it sat empty for a year while I was stationed abroad. When I got back, I would be sitting in my bedroom reading or watching TV, and my ceiling fan was always running, and all of a sudden I would hear this conversation coming from the other room. I would turn off the TV and get out of bed, and the conversation would stop. My dog, a huge German Shepherd named Maverick, would also seem to hear these things. I woke up one night and rolled over and came face to face with a burned man. It was frightening, one of the most terrifying things that's ever happened to me. Until I moved to Denmark. Sounds like she ran into Bloody Bones Man.
Maybe.
Raw had the Bloody Bones Man. I moved into the house my husband lived in prior to meeting me. We had a little girl in 2014, and some of the activity seems centered around her. The way the house is set up situates the laundry room and the door to Sophie's room at the opposite end of the hallway of our room. I never liked that area and always feel like there's something standing there right outside her door. My daughter has woken up screaming in the middle of the night several times. She seems to sometimes carry on conversations with people. And one night she woke up screaming. She was about 18 months old, still in her crib. When I got to her room 10 to 15 seconds later, she was just behind the door when I opened it. I suppose it's possible she crawled out of her crib that fast, but I suspect she was moved. And I know it sounds crazy. Now, I have seen a shadow person or people that like to peek around the door into the hallway, which I can see from my bed. I've been touched about 6 months after Maverick passed away. I heard little feet running down the hall and then felt a touch on my calf while lying in bed. It was late, so I assumed Sophie had woken up and come running down the hallway. I turned the flashlight on my phone and shined it towards the end of the bed, but there was no one there. That freaked me out. My husband thinks I've lost my mind, but my mother came home for Christmas this year and there was there for a month. She woke up one night and saw a dark shadow standing in the door of her room. She had also been having strange dreams. I just always have an uneasy feeling in the house. Feel like I'm being watched, especially at night when we're all in bed. It doesn't seem to mess with my husband or his boys, but it sure likes to mess with my daughter and I. Dave, I have a question for you. Maverick, my German Shepherd, was my best friend, my soul dog, if that makes sense. I was devastated when he died. I have not yet dealt with it and still grieve for him. I hear all your shows about people's animals coming to visit them, and I wonder why he hasn't visited me. Mav struggled before he died a bit. He had congestive heart failure, so it was hard for him to be comfortable when he was sleeping. So I would hear him get up in the middle of the night, and then, because he was a senior dog, he'd kind of throw himself down on the floor again because it wasn't so easy for him to get up and down. Occasionally, I think I hear him doing that, but he hasn't really visited me, not like others say their pets have. I'm just curious, why would that be? Making the choice to put him down was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I will always say that I feel like his presence when he was alive kept at bay whatever was in the house. Again, I enjoy your shows and the banter between you and Tim. You guys always make me laugh. Sincerely, Kristen. I wish I had an answer. I don't know all the answers, Kristen. I pretend I do.
I have a theory.
What's your theory?
I think that the shadow people's sightings and the touches are two different things. I think the touches are Maverick.
But I think Maverick was...
She said in that letter that the touches came about 6 months after Maverick had passed.
Hmm.
I think the touch on the calf that she was freaked out about, sure. I think that was just Maverick letting her know.
A young Maverick?
Yeah, a young Maverick.
Yeah. Well, their spirits are...
Yeah. Yeah, it was just Maverick letting her know that he was there.
Yeah. I almost said euthanized because I meant like youthful and right. re-energized.
But think about it, because of all the interactions you hear about with shadow people, they don't tend to be malevolent, but they don't tend to be real nice either. And the way she describes these touches, they're not scratches. They're not there's not something more malevolent going on. It just seems like it's a gentle touch. If it's a gentle touch, why wouldn't it be Maverick just there saying, hey, I'm here?
That's your take on it. You know what first popped into my mind?
What's that?
Her daughter was astral projecting in her sleep.
Well, that could be too. Yeah.
She heard the little footsteps running down the hall, and then she felt the touch on her leg, thought it was her daughter, and she was picking up on that presence. I think that it might have been her daughter in sleep form visiting her.
That could be.
So one of us could be right. Both of us could be wrong. Yeah. We're used to that.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Hi, Dave and Tim. Congrats on the launch of Beyond the Darkness. For all my life, I've grown up having many paranormal experiences, but none quite like this. This story I'm about to tell you still haunts me to this day and ranks as the most terrifying experience of my life. 9 years ago, I got in a rut that ended up having to move in with my parents for a few months. While staying there, I noticed some strange things happening around the house. Nothing too major, but creepy nonetheless. I would routinely wake up at 3 a.m. every night. It never failed. Things would go missing, such as car keys and even the remote. Yeah, cliche, I know. Happens all the time, right? I figured I must be going crazy because there wasn't anything strange about losing keys on occasion. But when I was alone, I always felt a presence as if something was watching me. Well, back in the day, my mom used to own a Ouija board from the 70s. For years, it sat in my grandmother's stash of board games. I remember as a child that me and my cousins would always open it up and play around with it. I have a very vivid memory of the planchette going crazy and flying off the board numerous times, but we'd always blame it on the other player. Well, 9 years ago at my parents' house, they decided to go out for the weekend. I was getting more and more freaked out about what was going on at the house, and I decided I would calm my mind. How, you may ask? Well, by pulling my mom's old Ouija board from underneath her bed and opening it up. That's how. Well, this can't possibly go wrong, Tim.
No.
No. Let's see. Not a great idea, I know, but I figured I'd played the Ouija by myself, and if it moved, then I'd know the board was legit, and so was the activity. If it didn't, I would know that whatever's going on in the house is just my imagination. So, there I was, alone in my parents' bedroom. I placed my hands on the planchette and waited, focused on the planchette. 2 minutes or so passed, and I let my mind forget about everything but the planchette, and it moved. My heart skipped a beat. I tossed it to the box, and I remembered yelling, "Nope, that settles that." I threw the box back under the parents' bed and sat on the couch and watched TV until they got home. Anything to distract me and keep my mind off what just happened. Well, my parents eventually came home, and I felt kind of guilty that I'd used the board in the house. I may have been skeptical, but I knew that it wasn't a good idea to do it in the house. I was afraid I might have made things worse. Sure enough, my mom and stepdad go into their bedroom. Moments later, my mom comes out and sees me. "Oh my God," I said. "What, Mom? What's wrong?" She said, as soon as she went into the bedroom, the closet light flipped on. In my head, I was like, "Holy crap, no, 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 not good." But I said instead, "Oh, wow, that's kind of creepy." Way to deflect, and slowly walked away. Days pass. The closet light has been turning on by itself every time my parents walk into the bedroom. My mom starts saying to the place is haunted, and my stepdad is blaming the light on an electrical issue. I'm still waking up at 3 a.m. every night. The TV in the living room has now started to turn itself on every night while we're sleeping. It starts to scare the ever-loving crap out of me. So I caved. I told my mom what I had done, and she was like, "Why the hell did you do that in the house?" I explained why, and she was not too happy. A week passes, and the activity is now sporadic. It was a beautiful and sunny Saturday, and I felt like sitting on the couch and watching a movie. This is the same TV that had been turning on by itself, a big, old-school 55-inch projection TV with the reflective screen. With it being so sunny, I could see the room's reflection on the screen as well as me sitting on the couch. It made it very hard to focus on the picture, especially when a dark scene came on. And that's what just happened. The movie I was watching came to a point where the picture was very dark, making everything in my living room show up more noticeably on screen. So I'm trying my best to focus on the picture, and that's when I noticed some motion in the reflection of the living room. I didn't focus on what it was, but it looked as if someone was sneaking up behind me. I laughed on the inside and thought it was my brother sneaking up to scare me. I still did not focus on the reflection. I thought it would be funny to grab his arm as he got closer, but he never did. The motion continued. That's when I focused on the reflection in the TV screen. I wanted to know what in the world my brother was doing behind the couch. That's when I saw it. It was a girl, probably around 13 years old, standing behind me. The torso of the body was rocking back and forth. The first thing I noticed was her dress. It was a white sundress with flowers printed on it. On the dress itself was mud, lots of it. She was covered head to toe in mud. My body tensed up and my hair raised up like you wouldn't believe. Then I looked at her face. My stomach sank and I began to hear my heartbeat. Her eyes were completely black. But what frightened me was most of her mouth. It was elongated, kind of like the Joker's, which had long, sharp teeth. She was smiling ear to ear, rocking back and forth. My heart began to pound and my chest began to hurt. I jumped up and ran straight into the kitchen where my mom was. She laughed at me when I explained what I'd seen, so I immediately proclaimed, "No, Mom, she was there. Oh, my God." After freaking out, was that a very good teenage girl voice?
That was very good. Yeah.
I've got a couple in my house. I've
really?
Gotten you. Come on, Dad. Oh, my God.
Wow. That's uncanny.
Kind of like you're right there babysitting for him, isn't it?
Yeah.
After freaking out a bit and being very sincere about what I had seen, her smile turned to a frown and she said, "Well, maybe that's who's been messing with stuff around the house." That night, I kept telling myself, okay, maybe I didn't get enough sleep the night before. Maybe I'm stressed. Or, well, maybe she's a girl buried in the backyard. That's a weird leap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What was her family into? I don't know. My thoughts were everywhere at the same time. I didn't know about black-eyed kids, nor did I know about other accounts and legends like the Raksha. Have you ever heard of the Raksha?
Yeah, they're the guys who they play guitars and drums and they sing up on stage.
No, that's a rock band, Tim.
That's not Rakshas?
No, not rock stars either.
Oh.
Let's see. So a week passes with no activity, and I finally determined that if I had simply lost my mind, so I had finally got on with my life when I get a random phone call from my good friend Jeremy. Every day, Jeremy would drive past my parents' house on the way to work around 4 a.m. when it was still a bit dark outside. We'd always leave the porch light on, and he would always drive by and make sure no one was messing around outside. We lived a little ways off the road, so he always checked as he drove past. I said, "Hey, Jeremy, what's up?" He said, "Mike, who is that girl that you've got staying at your house?" So I did a teenage girl voice, and it's guy's name is Mike writing this email to him. Sorry, Mike. Oh, my God,
Mike.
Dave. God.
Jeez.
I laughed and said, "My mom?" And he said, "No, the young girl." My heart sank yet again. I said, "There's no young girl." He said, "Well, every morning I've driven by this week, I've seen a young girl on your porch swing." I said, "Well, maybe it is my mom." He then interrupted, no, this is not your mom. I wasn't going to call until I've seen her today, and she kind of freaked me out. He then went on to say that as he was driving by, she was bouncing along the front porch as if she was playing hopscotch. As he passed by, she stopped and stared at him with her head cocked to the side. As he was telling me this, I felt like I was going to throw up. My heart started thumping again. I explained to him about everything that had happened with the Ouija board experience, and I immediately became obsessed with the paranormal. I wanted to know more. So I created a paranormal group and my own YouTube channel, Paradot, which is now sitting at 1,350 subscribers. I eventually stumbled upon Darkness Radio, which in turn inspired me to create my own podcast. So maybe the black-eyed kid wasn't so evil after all. It put me on a path I'll never regret. P.S. Maybe by me using the Ouija board, I technically invited the black-eyed kid into my house. I have no clue, but 9 years and many paranormal investigations later, I've never had something scare me quite like that. Thanks for being so great at what you do. Best wishes, Michael. Wonder if Michael will feel the same now that he heard me do his voice as a like whiny teenage girl.
Probably.
Oh my God,
not.
Dave. Yeah. Oh my God, really?
Sorry, Michael.
Sorry, Michael. Hi, Dave. Sorry, you're not addressed in this one, Tim.
Sorry.
Should I just throw this one out?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to read it.
Oh, all right.
I'm listening to Beyond the Darkness on the Darkness Radio app. It's awesome, BT Dubs. I have been a longtime listener to the Darkness Radio podcast and love you and Tim. See? Redemption.
Oh,
redemption.
Did you just make that up?
No, I swear it's here. Maybe she wrote this while she knew you were out sick last week. Oh, Tim. That could be it. Let's just settle with that.
All right.
It's good to have you back, by the
way. Thank you.
All right. On the episode I'm listening to now, Beyond the Darkness, you told a story about seeing a shadow figure at Waverly Hills. I know there have been several reports there and have a story myself. Besides my husband and my best friend, I have never told anyone this story or any stories of the paranormal that have happened to me over the years, for that matter. I love the paranormal, but also approach things as a skeptic and never tell anyone my experiences for fear of getting that look. Figured I'd tell you this story, though. Back in 2009, me and my husband went to Waverly Hills on the way back from a road trip. Of course, I had to beg to get this location as my spouse thinks the idea of ghosts, etc. is nonsense, though he is pretty agreeable going on any of the tour if he finds the history of the location interesting. So we start out the tour in typical fashion, go to the room where they saw a short video presentation. After the video, we're broken up into two groups of around a dozen. Then we proceed on a nighttime tour that includes the body shoot. I'm taking pictures, etc. The tour guide is telling stories of each location. Then we go to the fourth floor, and the tour guide is saying things like, all you do is, do all of you see any shadow figures, yada, yada. People are saying, oh, yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, whatever. During the tour, it was pitch dark except for the tour guide light. So I would figure in complete darkness, your eyes are adjusting and it would be pretty much easy for your eyes to play tricks on you, especially if it's being suggested for that effect. Now, in any event, after the tour, walking to my car, my husband asked me what I thought of the tour. I said it was good and glad we went there, except it was really annoying having that guy on my ass the entire fourth floor. My husband says, what guy? Well, when we went up to the fourth floor, some guy in the group was standing right behind me, really close the entire time we were there, listening to the tour group, and even part of the time we walked around. I almost turned around and said, dude, some personal space, please. But I didn't want to be rude. My husband then said, are you being serious? I said, yeah. He said, I don't know how to tell you this, but you were the last person in our group. I said, no, there was a guy behind me. My spouse asked what the man looked like. I said, I don't know. He was around 5'10" or so, maybe a little bit taller, average build, I guess. I couldn't really make him out too much since it was so damn dark in there. He then says, Maria, you were the last person in the group. We walked the stairs to the floor, and right behind you walked into the hall. You said, thanks a lot for making me walk in last. Then it clicked. I remembered being annoyed with my husband because I'm 4'11", he's 6'3", and I thought, we're in a dark building, and you make me go after you? What a gentleman. I then shrieked, don't screw with me! There was a guy right behind me. Sort of an angel on my right side. He felt like he was hovering and was right next to me for most of that floor once we got into the hall. You were on my left. I felt like I had no space on both sides and was thinking this group isn't that big to be crowded for a stranger to be standing right next to me. He assured me that I was the last person, then replayed how the tour went and the order in which me and him were walking in relation to the group. To this day, I ask him, were you messing with me at Waverly Hills? To which he replies, no. When I think about it, I really don't know what to believe and what happened there, if anything. I replay the events from time to time. I know their shadow of a person. There was a shadow of a person next to me, just like any other person in the group. Though, I couldn't tell you exactly how he moved away from me. Just knowing my husband and the fact that he didn't laugh when he told me nobody was behind me and honestly was looking at me like I was crazy when I told him makes me believe that maybe somebody was there. Thanks, Dave, for listening. I follow you and Tim on social media. Love the show content. I'm Sister Mary Elephant on Twitter. Shh. And thanks for following back. Have a great week. Well, sorry, Sister Mary Elephant, your secret's out. People know how to find you now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're going to get an onslaught of new followers. Isn't that exciting? All right. Hi, Dave. Sorry, Tim. Again, probably while you were out. Don't take this personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, Dave. I wanted to share a dream with you that I had last night. I've been listening to Beyond the Darkness on Podcast One. Yay! And I was a faithful listener of Darkness Radio. That's what she wrote in there, okay?
Yeah.
Just so we're clear. Okay. And the Black Eyed Kids was featured on Beyond the Darkness, as you well know. So I think because I recently listened to these episodes, I had a dream with Black Eyed Kids. This one was my last dream early in the morning before I woke up, so it's still fresh in my memory. Plus, I kept replaying it over so I can share it with you. Here goes. In my dream, I was sort of walking, gliding on a dark stretch of road going into my house. The road was different and seemed like a mile long. There were homes on either side of the road, but all were dark, wet, quiet. I can't tell what time it was, but I knew it was late. As I was going home, I kept seeing children. It didn't really strike me as odd until something triggered my memory of Black Eyed Kids. Then, as I looked closely, I noticed that the kids were in groups of three, and each group were dressed the same. They had that ever-distinguishing feature, the all-black eyes. Some were same-aged, while others varied in ages. There also seemed to be varied in gender, or were of the same gender, but they had all monotonous sound of their voices saying hi, and some monotonous movements as well. As I started becoming leery of them, my body glided over them, and I got higher into the air, as if I were astral projecting, which is something I'd like to learn more about, as I've experienced this in my childhood and twice recently in my adulthood. In my desire to get away from them, as I did this, a group of the oldest black-eyed kid trio started cursing at me and getting upset because I was not within their reach. My dream ended when my youngest crawled into bed with us, my husband and me, and woke me up. I couldn't shake the dream, as I've never dreamed of black-eyed kids before, nor have I ever experienced actually seeing them. I'm the one who would rather be safe than sorry and won't be caught out in the dead of night on my own. You know, avoid woods and all that. Well, I just wanted to share my dream with you, and I'm sure that it was my subconscious coming alive while I slept, replaying things I'd heard, or perhaps it was a warning to not be out late at night. Dreams do come with warnings. Have a great day. And that comes from Diane. Yeah, Diane, that's definitely something to be leery of. Mm-hmm. Going out of doors and black-eyed kids?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm out.
Double no, play out. There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, put me as an Audi. Audi 500, Tim. Hey, Dave. First, I wanted to say that we're thinking of you with all the possible changes to the show to be announced. No matter what happens, we love you and will support you in any way we can. All right. Well, that's a very nice start to the email. This is a little bit older. This is before we made all the big changes.
Yep.
Anyway, here's my shadow person encounter. Telling you was spurred on by your Beyond the Darkness show on shadow people. Feel free to share on Parashare or Theater of the Mind if you so choose. I've seen shadow people a few times, but this one incident is the most prevalent in my mind and still gives me goops bumps.
Goops bumps.
Gives me the goops bumps.
Ah, yeah.
Let me try that again here. I've seen shadow people a few times, but this one incident is the most prevalent in my mind and still gives me goosebumps to this day. The encounter took place at the Eisenhower Farmhouse at Phenomenology 105 Conference in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, on the kids' ghost hunt, no less. The kids were doing EVP work throughout the house using shack hacks, and not much happened so far. We then went into the basement. There was a large alcove area where all the kids and the leaders climbed into it and gathered in a circle. They were doing shack hack sessions and using the Ovilus device. I stood just outside the alcove with another gentleman. I'd been sitting too long and wanted to stand up. I looked toward the backside of the house, casually awaiting the end of the hunt and looking forward to dinner. Then it happened. I saw something that I neither expected nor can explain away. Plainly visible, a shadow person slithered along the floor through the light streaming in through the garage door windows. It reminded me very much of the way that Spider-Man crawls up the walls. It didn't seem to notice us and continued into the shadows closest to me. I've heard this manifestation of a shadow person often referred to as a creeper. A bit stunned, I heard the guy next to me drop his phone on the floor. I leaned over and asked if he saw something. He stammered, "A shadow just crawled across the floor." When we got back to the hotel, I told a few others of my encounter. From what I was told, the farmhouse was being renovated to rent out, but the woman left in the middle of the job because they kept seeing the creeper in the basement. It was a heck of an experience and one that I will never forget. The paranormal can sneak up on you when you least expect it. Thanks for all your hard work on Darkness Radio and Beyond the Darkness. I am a proud member of the Army of Darkness, and that comes from our good friend Jeff Johnson. Now, here's something cool, Tim, because I can actually back up that story.
Okay.
When we were at that same conference, Jeff and I were stationed there during the big ghost hunt, Jeff Belanger and I.
Right.
And as the night was progressing and less people are coming because it's cold out and tired, we were down there with a few people and they said, oh, let's go into this. And literally you go down in this like basement and there's like a cutout in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of climb in like it's a crawl space under there.
Mm-hmm.
So we crawl in and we're in there trying to do some EVP work. And all we have are some of the very dim light of the equipment, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden you see this person walk up to the alcove there and it looks in. And we go, we're just doing some EVP work if you want to crawl in here with us. So it crawls into the room and goes and sits off to the side. We said, just be quiet. So while we're doing the EVP work, there's no, you know, noise and we're not causing disturbances. And we kind of paused, waiting for some kind of response or for them to break out a piece of equipment. Nothing. We're like, all right, are you cool with that? You want to do the EVP work with us? And it's just sitting there and it's not responding. And Jeff kind of shoots me this look, because it's late at night. We're both a little tired and crabby and cold. Mm-hmm. And we're like, great. We got one of these in our group, right? We flash the flashlight over there. There's nothing there. There were four or five of us in this room. We all saw it climb into the room, crawl over to the side where we weren't sitting, and watch us until we hit it with the flashlight.
Weird.
Same area. So very cool. Well, that's it for tonight, Tim. That's all.
Okay.
We're going to wrap up. It's our first Parashare and Supernatural News. It's great to have you back behind the mic and helping us out. And we'll keep prayers for a quick recovery for you, for the infection in your foot, for the new changes in your mouth. And we hope that you're back up and feeling well soon.
Thank you.
Yeah. What have we got going tomorrow night, Tim, on the show?
Tomorrow night on the show, it is Seth Breedlove. He joins us, and we'll be talking about the Mothman of Point Pleasant.
That's cool. So you guys wanted more Creatures of the Night, the Mothman Prophecies, the Mothman of Mount Pleasant. That's tomorrow here on the Best of Paranormal Talk Radio. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Beyond the Darkness.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.